Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Sure looks like it. Listen, he knew at the time that he couldn't answer the question because it looked so bad. He knew that it looked beyond the pale, and it is beyond the pale, Sean, for the FBI to be going into any church in America and trying to spy on Americans. And now we know that's exactly what they were doing. They are infiltrating churches. They are trying to spy on us. They regard churches, apparently, as the enemy, and church-going Americans as akin to terrorists. And
welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this insane Wednesday, first hour. And that was Senator Josh Hawley. We got a whole bunch of things to hit today. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. All kinds of good stuff up there. And you can also follow along. We have got the simulcast of the show. You can listen to the show across the country in a city near you. And you can also watch the simulcast either at YouTube or Facebook or on DirecTV. I forget what channel.
347.
Thank you. So all kinds of stuff. Anyway, so the latest, because we have Joe Biden, who is, I don't know why he went with Hunter Biden. He's landed in Belfast. He landed in Belfast last night with his son, Hunter, and his sister, Valerie. And the Air Force One touched down. They had a huge security operation. They're marking the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. It seems he's really trying to play up the whole his whole Irish heritage, although some people even question that. But anyway, he's over. He's traveling to Ireland. And it's weird that he can go to all these other places, but domestically he can't really. He can't really do a whole heck of a lot. It's weird because the way this, and he went over there with one of the Kennedys, and it's being treated in a way like it's his, you know, his homecoming and also politics is kind of how they looked at it. And he's, you know, we'll watch all of the fun stuff, I'm sure, that's going to come out. I'm just wondering if, you know, why Hunter Biden? It's just such a bad optic. It's such a bad optic, particularly with everything else that's been coming out about all of this, with the family. Hunter's business partner had visited the White House, met with Joe when Joe was VP, even though Joe Biden had said repeatedly that he doesn't have any idea. He never had any idea at all whatsoever what his son did with regards to work. And then, of course, the business, 10% for the big guy, the green energy, all of it. At some point, you know, hopefully they will get in front of, at least maybe Hunter will get in front of Jim Jordan's committee, but doubtful. So that's one of the things that we're watching today, as well as the ongoing with the leaked documents. We've been tracing the origin of this classified leak, this intelligence leak. The documents that have been that were addressing a number of issues, and we talked about everything that they were hitting yesterday. The thing that gets me is there was a presser, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. He doesn't even know who's seen it all. He has no clue who has seen any of the leaked documents. None. None at all whatsoever. So he can't even speak to that. They have no clue. They don't know who's seen any leaked documents. In fact, and this is the stuff that appeared on the literally a server that for Minecraft fans. It's one of the craziest things ever. These were the ones that were marked secret. They got into Ukraine's pretty much non-existent air defense systems, how they would be depleted at the start of May at the current usage rate. It would discuss spying, even on, and also CIA and the Mossad in Israel, and how they were campaigning, apparently, or working to campaign against even Netanyahu. So it's considered an embarrassment for the United States that it, because these were documents that really only the United States could have at this point. And it's the scandal that came out, particularly with Mossad plotting to kind of undermine Netanyahu. These are the weird thing is these are from the highest sources. Some of the highest, according to the New York Times, you know, these are some of the highest sources within United States government. Although we haven't been told who they are. We don't exactly know who the sources are. Just that someone who was also very highly placed took them and then stole them and then photographed them. So that's it had to be someone high up who did it. Now, they were just like literally stuffed in a pocket. I mean, and they were taken out of a skiff. This 100 some odd images of these crumpled up documents. White House and Pentagon, obviously, the information is incredibly revealing, incredibly sensitive, and it discusses things that you're not supposed to discuss publicly, and we all pretend that we don't do with regard to spying. But they were saying that the American estimates in Ukrainian war dead were overstated, et cetera, et cetera. But it is a major intelligence breach, and we don't really have any other information on it. There was the briefing yesterday, and I mean, honestly, 4chan, Telegram, Discord, a Minecraft server. There was the Filipino a message board on Discord for a Filipino YouTube celebrity, and they were just literally taken out of a skiff, out of the secure area, and then photographed. So they're saying that they're still searching for who did it. It is a very interesting. The timing is interesting on this because of all of the briefing material that relates to the Indo-Pacific military theater and particularly parts of the Middle East. It is very interesting. So that is what they're still, of course, we don't even know who leaked at the Supreme Court. So I doubt that we're ever going to hear anything about whoever leaked with this at all. We will never hear about it. Never. Now, in the meantime, the body cam footage was released by Louisville police, pulling this story up. Louisville Metro Police released the footage of the moments that the officers confronted the killer inside of the Old National Bank. And the 25-year-old had entered the bank and killed five. It had been four fatalities. The fifth ended up succumbing to their injuries. She succumbed to her injuries in the hospital. Sad indeed. Tragic. And of course, there was a police officer who had been hit, who'd been shot in the head, and he was in surgery. He's been in surgery with us. And so the footage was released, and it shows two of the officers. One was grazed in the shoulder by return fire from the killer. The other officer was shot in the head. They were approaching the bank in the cruiser. They parked outside. And that's when the killer just opened fire. They had to pull the car back. So he was still outside. So he exchanged fire with them. Had to pull the cruiser back. Just tough stuff. And the footage, I mean, they reacted so fast. And the exchange fire didn't last very long. But the younger officer who was grazed was able to still, I mean, he literally charged towards the building. And so at that point, and it shows them neutralizing the threat. Now, in addition to this, the parents of the killer have also now spoken out. And we're gonna have to have a bigger conversation about this mental health aspect of this. The family was saying that they called it a senseless act of violence. They said that he did have mental health problems, but they insisted that there were never any warning signs. If you believe that. I don't know if I do. And they said that in their statement, they said no words can express their sorrow, their anguish, their horror of at the unthinkable harm their son had inflicted on people, their families, and the entire community. They said that they mourn their loss and that of their son. They said they were praying for everyone who was traumatized. And apparently more insight is coming out about his, I guess, what he was dealing with. They said he had mental health issues. What does that mean? That he had mental illness. They said they were actively dealing with it. What does that mean? They said that they were actively dealing with it. But if they knew that he had these issues, there's a lot of questions that should be asked. And what sort of, you know, mental health issues are we talking about? Because when the left talks about mental health issues, they do so in such a broad way that it is, it's a universal statement, and it's really offensive because they treat all mental illnesses as though they are one and the same. That if somebody has a mental illness, then they are immediately considered to be, you know, a danger to themselves or other individuals. When most of the time, a lot of people that are dealing with particularly a type of mental illness that would make it easier for them to consider and commit an act of violence, they would usually do it towards themselves and not really anyone else. And then some people who deal with mental illnesses have no such inclinations and deal with no such issues of violence. You know, evil is also real, and I've said this for forever, and I've discussed it in two separate books. Evil is real. And there is this, I think, this push with the left, if they do want to just universally apply this label of mental illness as a way to excuse everything, then they are also giving a pass to evil, because not every person who is mentally ill is evil, and not every person who is evil is mentally ill. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this throughout the show, because this, we've already had the Republican governor now of Tennessee who said that he wants to call for red flag laws, which we're going to drill down here coming up. He's already called for red flag laws. He says that he hopes that it's something that he can sign if they get it to his desk. Red flag laws don't work. There's no evidence that they work. It's literally only about confiscating the firearms, and it does absolutely nothing for mental health at all whatsoever. That's indisputable. All it does is remove firearms from the troubled individual, but it leaves the black market accessible. It leaves knives accessible. It leaves explosives accessible. All it does is remove the guns in an ex parte process, at which point, if the individual is, wants to contest it, they have to pay thousands of dollars to and go to court and fight to clear their name because they have been convicted before they even got their day in front of the judge. That's how this process works. And there's no exception for that across the United States. And there's also no, in most of these instances, particularly when people have been wrongly or falsely accused, because the evidentiary standard for these cases in so many states is basically, suspicion, not even the preponderance of evidence is the evidentiary standard is so incredibly low compared to what you would expect with a normal trial that's observing Fifth Amendment protections. It's laughable. That's why it's undermining of due process protections. And if you don't think that that's a threat just because this has to do with firearms, then go ahead and try this with a million other issues. What if people wanted to say that just, you know, being gay or being trans was a mental illness, and they wanted to immediately say, oh, because this is a mental illness all on its own, and considering, you know, the militant trans terrorist that was in Nashville, we're going to go ahead and designate this a mental illness. And, you know, just because, you know, you decided to lower the bar for evidentiary standard and everything else, we're going to go ahead in an ex parte process and adjudicate you mentally ineligible, at which point you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars and go and fight this in a court of law. But the penalty is going to be provided first. Does that sound like it's fair? Because it's not just guns. It's about a million other things. Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
It's time to see the forest through the trees. After the mainstream media's nonstop coverage of the Trump indictment, his 2024 polls continue to surge. Do Democrats in the mainstream media actually want Trump to get the nomination just so he would lose? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Nevada health chiefs are warning of a deadly fungal infection. I would prefer smog, but, you know, it's called C. auris. It may be spreading in the community, and for the first time in U.S. history, amid fears a super fungus could be the next global threat. And because we get most of our antibiotics from China, and this administration has done absolutely nothing to help make us more self-sufficient in that regard. In fact, previously, when he was vice president, Obamacare actually crippled R&D and funding for R&D, not to say nothing of medical excise taxes, that I don't know how far behind we're going to be in that. In Nevada, the highest number of cases, they've had the highest number of cases in the U.S. in the past year, 384 cases, followed by California with 359 and Florida with 349. I don't know. This also could be fear mongering by the CDC. I trust nothing and I trust no one, and the sweet meteor of death could not come fast enough. Also, a truck that was carrying, man, poor East Palestine. They just keep getting hit. 400,000 pounds. 400,000, I mean, this is crazy. 40,000 pounds, excuse me, of toxic soil from East Palestine. That train derailment, it overturned on the highway. I told you they've been taking it to different locations, and it overturned on the highway. And so now they have to clean that up and deal with that on top of it. Cops pulling a Jeep from a Texas lake discovered that a woman was alive inside, and apparently locals said that she was trapped in the car overnight after she went missing 2 days prior. It was completely submerged. Only the roof was visible. She seemed to have an accident. Police, at the time of the story, they hadn't identified her. But it was a local fisherman, Lake of the Pines. He discovered it submerged almost entirely in the water. But she was, I mean, they were able to get her out. That's kind of wild. She was taken to a local hospital. She was listed as a missing person from Longview. She was reported missing just a few hours earlier. So thankfully, she was able to be rescued. But that's pretty wild. And Brittany Griner, because you know you want it, is cashing in on her detention in Russia. She's going to write a memoir that no one will read, just like no one watches the WNBA. Stay with us. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on The Dana Show.
Content you don't like or hateful? What do you mean to describe a hateful thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
Is that what you're saying? I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to say what you mean by hateful content, and I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly can't name a single example. I'll tell you.
Golly, that was Elon Musk talking to a member of the BBC who... They don't have free speech over there. I don't think they fully understand the concept. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That is the whole one of the big fights that the media has been having, and I am so happy about it. NPR quit Twitter, and the BBC got mad because Twitter, they were labeled state-affiliated media. So the way that it looks was... It's like when they have the Chinese state-run media up there, it'll have like this little gray thing underneath it, and it says state-run or state-affiliated media. And NPR is livid because they were classified as this, and they even put it down under their bio. They put NPR is an independent news organization that is committed to informing the public about the world around us. And it has government-funded media. That's what it says. It has government-funded media under their thing. And when you click on the government-funded media, it tells you that it's because they get government funding. NPR, in part, gets government funding. They sit here and go on and on about, no, most of our funding comes... I don't give a rat's ass where most of your funding comes from. You steal some of my taxpayer dollars to put on your god-awful content. You are government-run media. If you don't want the label, then don't steal my hard-earned money. You're funded in part by the government. If you don't want the label, don't take our dollars. This is not a transaction that any of us agreed to. If any of these people out there want to support NPR, by heavens, then you can go ahead and you can make that donation yourself. Why is it that all these rich leftists, they sit on their fat asses and they don't do a single thing to save the network they claim to love? In fact, they want to make it to where and mandate it to where everybody else has to pay for it. Pay for what? The entity that literally said of the Hunter Biden laptop story, and I quote, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. And we don't want to waste listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions." End quote. It's a real story. That's a real quote. That's what they said. In fact, they actually had said it and released their statement on Twitter when that happened. And they were absolutely snotty about it. Absolutely snotty about it. They said that it was a story that doesn't matter. In fact, it was a story that mattered supremely, particularly as all of these details have emerged. And by the way, I mean, there's already a federal investigation into Hunter Biden based on what is on this laptop. They're looking at whether or not he was actually reporting all of his income that he was receiving, questionably from, it rhymes with Schmina. So they said that they're going to take their ball and go home. They're not going to use Twitter. Oh, wow. I don't care. Don't use Twitter then. Look how unaffected we all are. Oh, wow. The sun has stopped shining. The world has stopped turning. We're all going to die and we're going to be plunged into a polar dark abyss because the sun is going to explode in the sky after NPR's announced that, nay, they shall not tweet any longer. I would love... I mean, I guess they think that people are as obsessed with them as they are obsessed with themselves. BBC was mad. Guess what? BBC is government funded. Here's the thought. Then fund it yourselves. And instead of George Soros sitting here raising crime rates with his garbage DAs that he gets elected because he basically buys elections, then why don't you know have him put some of his money towards your precious NPR? Then you can listen to your crap public broadcasting. I said it. One of my favorite things ever about talking about government-funded media was when I lived in St. Louis. And before I had my own studio in home, when I lived in St. Louis, I had to go to, guess what? It was the local PBS. And I would sit there on their soundstage and literally in front of everyone. They were always very nice and I got along with them. But I, no holds bar, I would sit here and say why it needs to be defunded. Not my monkeys, not my circus. So they are state-run media. And they are losing their minds over it. Now, think of all the ways that they have tried to help put the finger on the scales of justice or narratives or however you want to put it. How often they have done that with their coverage. The New York Times, etc. I mean, it's really amazing. And so there and they were taking issue with Elon Musk for that. So I guess what is it? The BBC, are they tweeting still? I can't remember what they said. NPR said that they're not going to use Twitter until that's removed. OK, I don't care if you use Twitter unless, you know, I don't care. Just stop taking our money. Why is it such a big deal with them? Because they realize the conflict of interest. How are you going to be a media entity reporting on the government when you get money from the government? And the speculation as to how much NPR gets is actually somewhat wild. So one of their officials was lying previously, and they were saying, oh, it's only 1%. That's a lie. Because then I've read that it's like 20% elsewhere. They tried to say, oh, no, we get some grants and we get that. Yeah, government funded grants. Do you think we're stupid? We know all the ways that government likes to, you know, distribute the money that it steals from us in the form of unconstitutional taxes. We know. Yes, I'm salty about it. Why? Because it's April. What's April? Mm-hmm. National Theft Day happens in April. Yeah, they always say, no, we actually only get 1%. Well, that's not true. They're like, oh, we're publicly funded by, and you get government money. Just be honest about it. Just be honest about it. And again, if you don't want the affiliation, then don't take any money. I mean, maybe their audience should, I don't know, support them more. Like Brittany Griner's coming out with this memoir. And how much you want to bet if nobody reads it and it doesn't sell, it's going to be because people are ignorant and they're anti-women and they're, you know, they're anti-gay because she's gay or something. If you don't read if you don't contribute to their cottage industry grift, then you're somehow anti them. What an emotional way to manipulate people into funding your lifestyle that isn't built on merit, but just hokey grift. Some politicians out there doing that right now in the Republican primary. I hate everything today. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and you want to have the conversation like Nikki Haley's out there like slinging mud already? Maybe you should sling some more accomplishments. When you say you're running for office, any kind of I don't have to be your friend. I don't have to be your friend. I'm not obligated to be your friend. I am here on the behalf of the people who listen to the program and who watch the program. I know what they say. I talk to them regularly. I don't have to sit here and yell. No, I don't have to sit here and be friends with any of these politicians. I don't want to go and hang out at their events. I'm definitely not going to allow them to facilitate my attending any kind of event. So this, we should probably talk about that because Tim Scott said he's going to form an exploratory committee. Why? Why? I like Tim Scott as a person on some things he's been squishy on, especially police reform. I've kind of had a little, because he went along with some of the narratives with that, and I just take objection. I just have objection to that. Oh, he did. It's okay. We can talk about it now or later. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. The conversation's going to happen. They're all doing this stuff, and I'm like, hi, China's going to kick our ass. Maybe we won't have an election. Who knows? Have you seen everything that's happening over in China right now? They just brought Emmanuel Macron to his knees. Faster than his elderly elementary teacher wife. I'm just saying. Where was the lie? Exactly. Should have told you all you're on the mind train today, so buckle up. But it's true. Have you seen? We're getting ready to do defense drills. I had this as a headline yesterday with Philippines, and China's going to be losing their mind. What are they're going to sound their air raid sirens again. And it's fun to make fun of Xi Jinping. You know, there was, I think, some Taiwanese officials were sharing images of Winnie the Pooh, who is Xi Jinping, getting punched in the face, building on the Hong Konger meme. Because when China was taking over Hong Kong, they found out that Xi Jinping was very, very sensitive to being portrayed as Winnie the Pooh, even though they had an image of Xi Jinping. Who was he walking with? Was it Barack Obama and they did Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, I think so.
Or was it one of the British leaders? I can't remember who he was walking with, or maybe somebody else. And they had the way that Winnie the Pooh was walking and the way Xi Jinping were walking were literally the exact same. And they had like the exact same expression. So Hong Kongers made a meme about it. And then China tried to say it was racist. And Hong Kong was like, we literally created it. What? And it went from there. So I mean, I don't know. It's just really hard to think that, I mean, can we live in this generation knowing that the leader of a communist nation who is so offended by a cartoon bear that he banned it? I mean, do you really want some entity like that actually being a contender to the United States in the Pacific Theater? A guy who's literally offended. He's actually offended over a cartoon bear. Really? Like, that's what the United States has become. Thanks, Joe Biden. Meanwhile, I'm sure Hunter Biden's going to snort some coke off the Blarney Stone. I'm just waiting for that. Sidebar, took a really long time to get the newsletter together, in part because the Twitter API is still broken on Substack, so you can't embed things. Fix it, Elon. And also because I was trying to figure out the most perfect image to put up as the leader image for the prep email, right? So I accidentally fell in this rabbit hole of AI art. And it's amazing because you can go to certain websites, right? You know where I'm going. And you can type something in. You give it a prompt. And then it will create something for you that's really weird. But it's AI generated. So I had typed in Hunter Biden snorting crack off the Blarney Stone, because I was like, you know, that's going to be one of the lead stories. That would be great, you know, to have as a an image going into it. So that's what I had. That's what I was going to use. Well, then I thought, you know what? Why the Blarney Stone? Let's do it off a leprechaun. Right. So I typed that in and it was terrifying. I saved some screenshots. I actually can't show it. I don't think it's terrifying. I mean, it's like a horror film by itself, right? Then I got a really good idea for a horror film. But I don't know. Maybe if we're lucky and I'm still in the mood when we put the newsletter together tomorrow, I make that the lead photo. But it's very, very interesting. But he is taking Hunter. KJP confirmed it. We'll talk about that coming up. We are barreling towards the end of this first hour. And we still have a number of things to hit, probably physically and literally, too. And that includes energy policy. The Biden administration is pushing automakers to sell EVs. You know how I feel about EVs. It makes me want to go out and get the biggest, most gas-guzzling vehicle. I think I did it. But, you know, I'm like, is there one bigger? Can I have more resources? We're going to talk about this. We also have some wokery, because that dude is now selling. He's hawking oil of Olay. Right? Yeah, he's hawking that oil of Olay now. So, oh, and one fun fact. You know the Bud Light exec who said that Budweiser, the previous image, had been like fratty, etc.? I think there's like pictures of her doing beer bongs and all this stuff out there. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to talk about Freddy, just, you know. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Here in Northern Ireland, programs like Young Enterprise Northern Ireland, helping thousands of young people each year gain skills and pursue their goals as entrepreneurs.
So that was the president who got into a slap fight with the teleprompter. And he's in Ireland on a little tour. He has Hunter over there with him, his sister Valerie. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. So Biden says that his priorities for the trip are to make sure the Irish Accords and Windsor Agreement stay in place, keep the peace, and that's the main thing. That's from The Guardian. And so, and he's there with his, like I said, his son and sister. It's weird because he's like really, he's emphasizing, I guess, trying to emphasize his family roots. I don't think everybody there's buying it though. And he was landed in Belfast, was greeted, delivered a keynote address. That was from Ulster University because that was early. They were marking the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. And then he's heading to the Republic of Ireland. And he is apparently going to pay his respects to his ancestors and meet relatives in County Mayo after he goes to Dublin. So it seems like, is this like him trying to do on the taxpayer dime, a heritage tour, and then we're just going to throw some Irish business in it and act like it's a, I don't know. I'm just, you can never be so sure. We have a second hour on the way. We got to talk about oil of Olay. And why do I say it like that? I don't know. Stick with us. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KeltecWeapons.com.
Now I know better than most how hard democracy can be at times. We in the United States have firsthand experience how fragile even long-standing democratic institutions can be. You saw what happened on January the 6th in my country.
Wow. So that's Joe Biden in Ireland trying to sit here and say, oh, well, you saw what happened there, January 6th. Is he trying to say that that's in any way like the Troubles? I'm just wondering, because it kind of seems like that's what he was intimating. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of our second hour. I really want to know, is that what you get? Kane?
I mean, it sounded like it. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but man, sure sounded like it.
Because that would be, I mean, that's, he wasn't, that would be one of the dumbest things I think that he's ever said. First off, nobody was armed. Secondly, it lasted, an afternoon. Third, it was a small group of people. It didn't last 30 years. Sorry, didn't last that. You didn't have people, the only The only people who were killed by the state. So, I mean, I just, you know, just going to put that out there. It's true. Get mad. It's true. He's over. How embarrassing. I can't get away from this. Guys, how embarrassing. You have the president of the United States who takes his cokehead, hookers and blow son to meet world leaders in Ireland, meeting Ireland's leader, meeting all these other officials. And I saw this video of Hunter Biden shaking hands with officials as they deplaned. And he's got, you know, his stubble. I don't know what he's trying to look like. It just looks bad. Why is he? The whole world has seen this, right? The whole world has seen how he has. So, I mean, all the photos, all the video that was very recent, by the way. I'm just floored. First off, that would you go? Let me just ask you, Kane. I'm going to ask you this. If you had all this, you know, you're president's son, you have, you know, laptops that come out because you just left them.
Wow.
And, you know, it was all hookers and blow stuff. Would you feel like, you know, confident and showing your face on a world stage meeting world leaders, knowing that they've literally seen you naked in a deprivation tank, you know, smoking crack? And
knowing that all of my nefarious videos have been seen by virtually everyone in the world that has connection to the internet. Yeah, I wouldn't want to show my face in public as much as possible. Like, I would want to be a hermit as much as possible.
Yeah. I would think that that's, if, you know, people who aren't self-obsessed would say that, that would be the correct answer to say. But we're talking about Hunter Biden. So, you know, the president's baby son, his baby infant AARP age son. Infant baby Hunter. Little baby, this little baby Hunter face, stubble and all. He has as much stubble as Dylan Mulvaney. Mm. Can I saw the story. I just saw the story. It's from Washington Times. It's the headline. Kane, this is a St. Louis story related to St. Louis. It's about the Clydesdales. Budweiser is saying that they're canceling the events with the Clydesdales over security concerns amid the Dylan Mulvaney backlash. You see, it's Budweiser who is the victim, everyone. Budweiser, woe is they. They, them. Woe is they. They're the victims here. The Clydesdales are like, so I lived in downtown St. Louis, literally across the highway from the brewery. Every time I drove home, if I was going north from coming south, if I had to go to the supermarket or anything, I would drive by Anheuser-Busch. And I saw the Clydesdales all the time because they would be out in that little courtyard. All the time. You get up there and like right when you're going to Soulard and Benton Park and all that, because it's where I lived. Saw them all the time. They are like the unofficial pets of everyone in St. Louis, the St. Louis area. I mean, and Christmas, it's so nice because they would have it all lit up, the whole, because they have a compound. The Anheuser-Busch compound is one of the creepiest things ever, especially at night, because half the buildings are all bricked up and it's that amazing wire cut brick that St. Louis was so famous for. I mean, hell, we built so much stuff in Germany. That's all brick. And that amazing wire cut brick that's actually even more, it's worth more than even some of the houses. No joke. It really is. It's like the best stuff ever. Anyway, their whole complex is brick. Multiple blocks, all brick. And half of the buildings don't even have windows. So they're just these giant brick structures. And it's very Willy Wonka-ish, right? It's very weird. You don't know what's going on in there. Anyway, so they have this courtyard where they would have the Clydesdales out for the public that would drive by, right? And it would be all lit up. And you could literally walk on the sidewalk right up to the gate. And you could see the Clydesdales. Everyone loves the Clydesdales. If someone ever did anything to the Clydesdales, I mean, St. Louis would collectively beat them to death. And I don't say that facetiously. I mean, you know, depending on what parts of the city you go in, that would happen anyway. But, you know, the knockout game was born there. But no one is going to do a damn thing to the Clydesdales. This is Budweiser trying to say, oh, we're the victim, though. We're scared for our Clydesdales because we had this man sell beer. We're scared. Nobody's going to do anything to the Clydesdales, you drama queens. This is because it's because they had Dylan Mulvaney. I wanted to share this too, because I had a friend of mine that made a very good observation. And let me pull this up. my friend Carol Markowitz, I thought that this was a very good point. And she was talking about this Budweiser Mulvaney thing. And now he's apparently hawking oil of Olay. We're going to talk. I don't know why I have to say it like that. I can't. I don't know how else you can say it. It's the Southern Missouri coming up. I can't deal with it. Anyway, she was saying the Bud Light backlash is happening because it is a product aimed at men. Dylan Mulvaney advertising leggings and face cream and handbags didn't make a blip because women have been cowered into surrendering their spaces and men haven't encountered the same, at least at that level. And she said that, you know, you have Mulvaney pushing a product that is generally associated with men. And picture in your minds the most beautiful, popular supermodel. Could she be the face of so many different brands? No. Bud, Olay, Kate Spade, Ulta, MAC, CeraVe. I mean, all of these, you know, the Tampax. It, she says, it's sending a message to us, to women, accept this or you're out. And I think she's exactly right. I mean, think about it. I mean, that is very true. And I like it how someone said, you know what, us guys will take care of this one. You ladies take care of the others. I'm like, okay, I got it. Yeah, I'll do it. Because it's true, because guys saw that. I cannot, there's a parody video that we cannot show you. Did you see it, Kane?
Yes.
Did you? Oh, my gosh. It is one of the funniest and so inappropriate. Oh, my gosh. I so want to play it for you. So bad. And I want to put it on the simulcast, but we would, DirecTV would probably fly to Dallas and physically restrain me. It is so bad, but funny. And it's a guy who's mocking it all, right? Some of the lines that he had in there were so good. But it's true, though. I mean, it is, it's this wild, it's wild. And this is, like, I guess, really the first time that men have encountered something like this on that level. There was another point that a friend of mine made. And she said, you know, she goes, the thing that gets me, she's like, is women who are really like over 35 have a hard enough time as it is. She's like, you're erased in Hollywood. She's like, you get to play like, you know, when you're over 35, she's like, roles dry up and all this stuff. And I think Meryl Streep said something to this effect one time too. Like when actresses start getting into that age demo, they're like, oh, it starts getting real weird. She's like, after 35, you're erased. She's like, you don't see, you know, women who are over the age of 35 doing a lot of like cosmetics advertising or doing a lot of this like brand advertising. She said, so in addition to women being invisible in that respect, she said now, she goes, she said that now your identity as a woman is now called into, is even called into question. They can't even find a younger woman. They got to get a dude who's cosplaying as a younger woman to do it. I thought that was a very good point. I mean, this is such a fraction of the population. But yet, I think it's overrepresented. I also think that LGBT is overrepresented too. I think LGB actually is overrepresented in shows and everything else. I'm not saying that as like a way to be mean or to say that as a reason to deny things to everyone, but there's always, it always affects my suspension of disbelief, right? Like I was watching this, I don't know. I was watching this series on Cece, who was Archduchess of Austria, and she ended up marrying, essentially the great uncle of Franz Ferdinand. And she was this, you know, this iconic figure, and they called her Cece and all this. And I'm watching, and I know the story of, I know the history of the couple, and she was the Empress of Austria. So she came in as an archduchess, and she was the Empress of Austria. She had married Franz Joseph. And there's like a couple of different series, and one of them, it's so dramatized to the point where there are things that are fabricated that I know did not happen. And I'm like, this is garbage. I can't watch it. Even though the score is good and the cinematography is good, now my suspension of disbelief is gone. And I think as the world has gotten dumber, have you noticed it's really hard to get into stuff? It's hard because everything is preachy or there are demos that are so overrepresented. Like, you don't, who sits down? It's like casting sits down. No offense. But imagine the roles were reversed. Like, you know, casting sits down and they're like, okay, we got to have this in here and then we can tell the story. Just tell the story. Just get good actors. Just tell the story. Have good storytelling. Have good writing. I don't know. The whole thing is, but anyway, long story short, now you have oil of Olay being hawked by this guy. You shave your face, dude. He's got stubble. Have you seen? He's got to shave his face daily. And he's hawking oil of Olay. It's oil of Olay. Yeah, you know how that's how you say it, right? It's oil of Olay. Right. Sidebar, fun fact. So in southern Missouri, they say yins instead of y'all. In Texas, it's y'all. Right. In southern Missouri, it's yins. So in Texas, you'd say, are y'all coming over? In southern Missouri, it's, are yins coming over? Now, someone was telling me, and I don't know, Steve, maybe it was you. Somebody was telling me that in Philly, or parts of, was it Philly or Pittsburgh? They say yins.
It's Pittsburgh.
Was it you telling me that?
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
But those are the only two places in the country that that's apparently said.
Yeah, they got a different, they got a different yins, though. So it's, in Philly, it's yous, and then Pittsburgh's yins, depending on what part of the state you're in.
This is like some deep dive ancient alien stuff. Like, how is it those two areas, they say yins, and no one else does it? Is it Y-N-Z? Because I think it's Y-N-S. I don't know. Like, I never had, like, a vocabulary test on it. I don't know how it's spelled. I'm just, like, saying it's, there's no hard Z on it.
Yeah, people that live in Pittsburgh are called Yinzers. Y-I-N-Z.
Yeah. So, everyone in my family said Yinz. Yinz. And when I was little, I said Yinz. And they put me in speech class. Because I apparently had a twang, and I said Yinz. And they were like, that's not a word. I'm like, it ain't a word. Anyway, every now and then it'll come out. But I thought of that. It fascinates me. But so oil, that's what, because Kane was making fun of me earlier. Oil of Olay. It's how my grandma would say it. Oil of Olay. He's hawking that. Is that some, I mean, I don't know. Does it make a man's skin smoother after they shave their stubble because they're men? We have, I don't know. I'm just wondering. I don't know. This whole thing is weird. It's all weird. Society sucks. Where's the sweet meteor of death? Let this happen now. I mean, we keep getting teased. Come on. As we move, I know we're all positive here today. We're all about the positivity. Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, PolitiFact was dragged for having to begrudgingly admit that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was correct about Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, that he had downgraded most felonies. It's true. I mean, that's what DeSantis had said. And then the left was trying to argue that, no, that's not true. He's lying about Alvin Bragg. But in fact, no, they actually fact checked it and they said it was true. More than half of the felony charges have been downgraded by Alvin Bragg. It was true. Mm-hmm. Taiwan's Air Force has been mocking Xi Jinping with patches showing Winnie the Pooh getting punched in the face. It is amazing. And I so want one of these patches so bad. They're pretty awesome. The New York Post had the story. They said that the Taiwanese citizens are rushing to buy this patch worn by members of its Air Force. The patch shows a Formosan black bear native to Taiwan holding Taiwan's flag while punching Winnie the Pooh, which Chinese dissidents and Hong Kongers have been increasingly using to mock Xi Jinping. to the point where he banned it in China. So they posted it to social media last week. That's when it first appeared, and people have been wanting these patches. Online grocery store prices have risen over 10% in March alone. We're going to talk about that, plus another big company leaving Chicago. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
And don't jump, okay? Oh, I didn't see that all the way up there. As my father would say, please excuse my back. I apologize.
So, the president, who is in Ireland, he's in landed in Belfast. He's on this Irish tour. He brought his son Hunter, his baby infant. It's a 50-something-year-old son, Hunter. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. Bottom of this second hour. Glad for your company, because otherwise I'd probably be face down in a ditch somewhere. I'm kidding. Would I, though? So... It's, I mean, first off, okay, so Kane just shared this story in Slack. I don't even know how this happened. New York Post has the piece. The headline is that there are security fears now after the top secret Biden Belfast visit plan was found in the street. In the street. A security scare shattered his trip to Northern Ireland today after a top secret document containing his itinerary for his visit to Belfast and information about his detail found right out there in the street. It was a security breach that was confirmed by the Police Service of Northern Ireland in a statement to the Irish Examiner. They said that we have notified senior information risk officers. They said that, you know, we take the safety of dignitaries very seriously, et cetera, et cetera. It seems... Look, I don't like Biden, but I don't want Kamala. So we can't have nothing like this happening. Who did that? Who? How do you lose that? How do you lose? First off, I mean, I guess that you really print it on paper. How do you lose that? So that, and it was already a massive security operation. They had 300 officers there. He was commemorating the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, met the British Prime Minister there. And although, and the British Prime Minister is kind of conservative, and he kind of brushed, there was video where he sort of brushed past him to greet other officials, which I thought was kind of interesting. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, or maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. But I just, you know, thought it was interesting. Just very interesting. So with this, he's going on a little tour of Ireland. And in the meantime, everything's going to hell in the United States. You've got China that's trying to saber rattle. You have cities dying. The Democrats, though, they did announce that their DNC is going to be, the convention is going to be in Chicago. Yeah, right? How exciting for them. What a great choice. I mean, I cannot think of a better city, guys, for them to have their convention. Conventions are always, they're always nuts. It's going to even be more so because it's this party, and also because, I mean, it's Chicago. They went from the frying pan to the fire with their new choice of mayor. It's bad. I mean, Chicago is on a downward slide. It's like a war zone. It's not just Chicago. It's Portland. It's Seattle. It's San Francisco. Crime is so rampant in Portland that Walmart's out. And isn't Salesforce, aren't they now leaving? You have Walmart leaving Chicago and Salesforce leaving Chicago. That was just announced this week. They're dumping Salesforce is leaving San Francisco. You had Walmart close in Chicago. So many businesses are leaving so many far left cities, it's almost difficult to keep it straight. Salesforce is leaving San Francisco. They're actually pulling out of the tower that shares its name. That they have its name on the tower. And they're one of San Francisco's largest private employers. The crime rate in Chicago is out of control, obviously. I mean, just last weekend alone, there were 19 who were shot. And this is drug and gang violence, 3 fatally. Those are the numbers, by the way. That's the activity that drives gun homicide. But they try to add, when they sit here and try to scare moms and dads and grandparents and everybody else about mass shootings in schools and all of this, they conflate, they add the 18 and 19 year old drug and gang violence numbers to the definition of children so that they can increase. And that's exactly what they did. You can look at CDC, and then you can look at the 18 and 19 year old data. Then you can cross reference that with the FBI uniform crime report by year and by city. And you can see exactly that is what they're using as a way to fear monger and gaslight you into thinking that there's this like mass casualty threat, you know, lurking around your school all the time. And that's simply not true. This is what's driving it overwhelmingly. And so they're going to have their convention there. I'm curious. They wanted to defund police. So how's that going to work? Do they not want to do that anymore? Is that something that they've changed their mind on? No, it is. It's the best. Free Beacon has a piece, The 9 Reasons Why Chicago is the Perfect Site for the 2024 Democratic Convention. Mm-hmm. The rampant crime. I mean, you have leaders who just don't want to do anything about it. Do you realize in Chicago, cities like Chicago, New York, San Francisco, and I had been talking about this for 6-7 years now, one of the big problems that they have is they reduce penalties for felony gun charges. Now, I'm talking about repeat offenders in illegal possession of a firearm while in commission of felonious criminal activity. They reduce those charges all the time. St. Louis, Chicago, San Francisco, New York, Philly. They reduce Austin. They reduce these charges all the time while prattling on and on about gun control. Now, try to reconcile those two things. Chicago's murder rate has jumped 40% since 2019. 40%. Car theft has doubled. And they have a huge history. Free Beacon has a piece where they go into the history of violent offenders and how convictions have dropped 30% on Kim Fox's watch, because it's about restorative justice. That is the progressive George Soros DA judicial rot. That's what it is. It's restorative justice. And so they get into like Cook County. By the way, when you also break down all the crime, and I'm using Illinois as an example because the DNC is there, going to be there. It's all in Cook County. It's all in Chicago. I mean, Soros gave $2 million to Fox's 2020 campaign. He backed the Philly prosecutor, Larry Krasner, as well. Millions here, millions there. I mean, his philanthropy network, it's the, they found, and this is according to Open Records, Public Records, you know, it was 990. They spent like $40 million to help elect 75 progressive prosecutors in half of America's largest jurisdictions. And every single one of those prosecutors have seen a dip in convictions and an increase in dismissed cases. And that's tracked by the Legal Defense Fund. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, perfect that they're going to have it in Chicago. Woo! Yeah! They can sit here and showcase all the crime that their policies have created and encouraged. And then, of course, don't forget the crippling taxes. I mean, 12% of their income just to live in Chicago. Woo! One of the highest tax burdens on its residents. Kane, we complained about the St. Louis city tax if you lived and worked in the city. This is 12%. 12% on top of your federal tax rate. 12%. You got to pay to be a victim to the drug and gang violence that they encourage. That's a privilege. So, I mean, perfect. Perfect. I mean, they can showcase their high taxation. The corruption, it is routinely rated, and this is from WTTW, as the number one city in terms of corruption, which shocks me because I always thought it would be New York, but it's not. It's an annual report from the University of Illinois of Chicago, and they base it on corruption statistics publicly published by the U.S. Department of Justice. And they said for 3 years in a row, Chicago has been America's most corrupt city. And Illinois is the third most corrupt state. Wow. That's pretty Unbelievable. No, it's not. It's totally believable. They haven't had a Republican mayor since what, 1931?
It was a while ago.
Something like that? Yeah. I mean, crazy. And no one lives there. People are fleeing Chicago at rapid pace. Axios, more people are moving out of Chicago. More and more people are leaving. A huge rate. They're going to Tennessee and Texas and Florida. They have inbound moving rate to major U.S. metros. It's all Florida and it's Florida and Texas, Houston and Miami specifically. And this, where more moved out, it's Philly, Chicago, San Francisco, Detroit, New York, and Seattle. Philly ranks 49.8. I mean, that's the increase in the number of people who moved. They left. They can't deal with it. I get it. I mean, there's the restrictions, the taxation, the crime. And don't forget, Democrats, you know, hopefully they don't repeat the 1968 convention. Remember that when there were hippies and communists that were protesting outside? You guys remember? Whew. It was a riot on Michigan Avenue in front of their convention headquarters. And they were anti-war protesters. And that's where the whole world is watching came from. So now they're going back to Chicago. I mean, they had to actually, what they had, and their convention in 1968 was as right after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and you had the Vietnam War, et cetera, et cetera. So they had a whole commission that they kicked off investigating the violence, and they characterized it as a police riot. And apparently Dan Rather even got hit on the floor. On the convention floor. I don't like him, so I don't... You know, what am I supposed to say to that? I don't know. I mean, no, I don't believe in violence. Unless it's... Violence is not an acceptable form of protest unless you're a militant trans activist. I mean, we've all learned that from the media.
True.
True. True story. So, yeah, Chicago's the perfect city for them to have this convention. I can't wait for all of the, like, the people in the Beltway... When they go, and I'm sure they're just going to be so happy there and be so safe, right? I mean, it's just the perfect way to highlight all their failed policies. So this is, I just keep seeing Democrats take L's over and over again. Like, for instance, you have Gavin Newsom, who was on MSNBC blasting Florida, which is booming. Everyone's leaving these states and going to Florida and Texas. You have Gavin Newsom going on cable news to highlight how well Florida is doing while Salesforce is like, we're leaving, yet another company leaving. They're leaving San Francisco and their big old high rise. And they had apparently 1 million square feet of office space, by the way. I don't know if I said that when I was telling you about that earlier. 1 million square feet of office space Salesforce had in downtown San Francisco. But Gavin Newsom's focusing on slap fighting with Ron DeSantis. He's not even in California. He's on his media tour. He's clapping with people in Florida. You played that video. We played that video yesterday. Yeah. Tyson Foods, Boeing, Caterpillar, Citadel. Everyone's leaving Chicago. Everybody's leaving. No one wants to be there.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I got this story coming out of Wildwood, Florida. A Florida man was arrested after his wife hit him with flying chicken wings. After a wife hit with flying chicken wings. Excuse me. I'm just like focused on the wings because why would you do your wings like that? A Florida, here's my question. Don't hate. Drummies or flats? No, I mean, like, I wonder what he used. Police said that they responded to a disturbance call at a home in Wildwood on Sunday night. When officers arrived, they said the victim was holding a baby, asked to be taken somewhere safe. They had been arguing over the defendant having a lover, and the defendant threw wings at her, and some of them hit her on the shoulder and under her chin. Officers at the scene said they saw chicken wing sauce on the victim's chin, neck, and shoulder. And apparently there was an audio recording of the incident. So that was interesting. He was charged with assault, booked into Sumter County Detention Center. He bonded out on Monday. Drummies or flats, though? It's what I want to know. It's what we're all wondering. Okay, so imagine being this guy. You know, you're being detained by police. You're nervous and scared, so you call 911 to tell people that you were being detained. That's what happened to this North Fort Myers man. He called 911 while being detained by deputies. Michael Gleason, he was a regular at the North Fort Myers Walmart Supercenter. So much so, notes NBC2, that there was a no trespassing order issued on his behalf. He was dressed in all black, and he walked in the store, cracked open a Mike's Hard Lemonade, and assumed his usual spot. I guess he just, like, harassed people. And so they contacted authorities, and authorities showed up. And so he contacted authorities. He dialed 911, and he said that he was being detained. That's what he told the operator, but the responding deputy made him hang up before he could talk further. So he's in Lee County Jail on trespassing, resisting officer, all kinds of stuff. A man was caught pooping in bushes outside of a Naples cleaning company. Well, at least it was outside of a cleaning company. Apparently, he needed to use the restroom so badly that he decided to defecate in the bushes outside of this cleaning company, Naples Glass Cleaning, on Good Friday. He ducked behind the dumpster right where it said no public dumping and did just that. So Naples Glass Cleaning, they had called authorities, and one of the workers, they actually tried to confront the man. Stay with us, third hour on the way.
Well, they were somewhere in the web, and where exactly and who had access at that point, we don't know. We simply don't know at this point. So
our defense secretary, the leaked documents were in the web, you know, Kane, they were in the web.
The interweb?
The Webernets, sir. Thank you.
That's different.
Actually, I think the full Latin is interwebernets.
Oh.
Uh-huh. They were in there, the web in it. Like the spider's web, but with technology.
Somewhere in the web.
Y'all, this is like the defense secretary. Now, I'm not saying that people got to be perfect, but, you know, like, know this stuff. Because it makes me get a little nervous when you don't know this stuff. Like, I want our defense secretary to basically be a character from Broforce. If you've ever played that, you know what I mean. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of our third hour. People are like, what's Broforce? It's like an 8-bit game, but you get to play as like Rambo or Chuck Norris or the bride from Pulp Fiction or from the Pulp twofer that Quentin Tarantino did with Death Proof. And then what is it? Planet Evil. I can't remember. Rose McGowan with her machine gun leg. And you basically fight terrorists, and then if you win, and aliens, and then if you win the game on hard level, as my son and his friend did last night, you get to meet Jesus, and then you go live in Texas. I got screenshots, I swear. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, man, yeah, Jesus is like, thank you, you know, this is awesome, high fives, and then you go to Texas, where you live forever. So, huh?
Texas is heaven?
Yeah, you know, I mean... And it's such a funny game. Anyway, long story short, I want, you know, defense secretary. I don't want the whole like Mark Milley reading woke stuff. I want legit a Broforce character because that's your job, right? Your job is, I mean, to be a hard ass and know when. I think, you know what? I think Dalton from Roadhouse would have been a great defense secretary. I may not be joking. I may be real, right? Because he like knew when to act and when not to act. And if you didn't know, by the way, I think that's one of the greatest films ever committed to celluloid. It's a cinematic masterpiece, Roadhouse. And of course, you know, you have the scene that, you know, be nice until it's time to not be nice. See, there you go. There's the mantra right there. That's the foreign policy mantra. So they've been scrambling to trace the source of this highly classified intelligence leak. They have no, it had to be somebody high up because they were top, they were classified as top secret. And apparently they were in the SCIF. That's the protective area. And you're not supposed to take, you know, documents out of, you know, the SCIF. And they not only took documents out of the SCIF, they had like 100 of them. They crumpled them up and they brought them, I don't know where they put it, but there was apparently Gorilla Glue in the background of one photo that I guess is providing a clue. And so, I don't know. But who was it? Sandy Berger. He was a former national security advisor. He was the guy who took a bunch of stuff from the SCIF and he was shoving it into his socks. My favorite thing about this story was the phrase, sock docs. Doc's in the socks because he stole stuff out of the skiff and that's how he tried to get him out of there. Yeah. Sock Doc. I'm so glad that it wasn't watered like Sock Doc Gate. It just Sock Doc. It was the Sock Doc controversy. And he pled guilty. So he took it out of National Archives. It's stuff you got to keep in the skiff. The protected area. So someone high up did it. Now, I think trying to figure out the purpose of why, it was pretty embarrassing to the Russians. I am worried about our spies in Russia. Because clearly what it demonstrated is there's somebody in the defense ministry. Maybe we shouldn't say that. Because this is what I pay my tax dollars for. I pay my tax dollars. Actually, that's why my money is stolen from me forcibly under threat of penalty by the government. At least use it wisely, right? Make sure that, you know, people who are going over there to watch on commies, that they're protected. And you don't do anything to compromise that. These people are not Valerie Plame pencil pushers, right? But there's somebody high up in the defense ministry there in Russia. And it really shows how weak they are. Other than that, I mean, it's embarrassing and it's weird that someone is at that level leaking documents. But was there really anything game-changing in it? Kane? I don't think so. I think the Snowden one was for more... Me,
if we're talking about just travel plans, yeah, I don't think so.
I think that one was a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, not that it wasn't bad. Like, don't get me wrong here, but still. All right, so energy. The Biden administration is trying to desperately push EVs, although it threatens to strain power grids and threaten reliability. No big. I mean, California is rolling blackouts and all that good stuff, you know. So, but hey, let's go ahead and charge your cars, except during the day when you need to go places. Don't charge them then. And then only charge them, you know, X amount of hours between X and X at night. Just, you know, be real careful. That's where this is going. We don't have the infrastructure to support everybody going green, number one. Number two, there aren't enough materials to make green things for everyone to go green. There isn't. They don't replenish, okay? That's not how that works.
I have audio here of Biden's EPA administrator, Michael Reagan, who was asked about most EV batteries. Right now they're produced in China, so how do you square that with Biden's climate goals and the reducing the reliance on China? Here's that exchange. Listen to this.
Most EV batteries right now are produced in China. So how do you balance the administration's climate goals while also trying to achieve its goal of reducing reliance on China?
That's a great question. And so we look at it in twofold. We have to walk and chew gum at the same time. This proposal doesn't kick in till model year 2027. So we've got some years to ramp up. We hope that we can take advantage of that runway.
4 years is not even enough time to get a rare earth element mine out of the up and running. It takes a decade on average. And that's if you get through all of the red tape, which has been made worse by this administration expanding bureaucracies. We don't have one that's functioning here. There's one that I think is in the beginning stages of getting off the ground. I've talked to people about that before, and they're still years away. I mean, for 2020, that's 4 years away. We got to walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm going to say a phrase here because I don't know what the hell to say. Mentally, that was that guy's inner dialogue. I don't know what to say here. Oh my gosh, say a phrase. Like what? Walk and chew gum. Like make it about multitasking.
And I'm all out of gum.
We have to walk and chew gum at the same time. And we're all out of gum. I'm stealing that. I'm tweeting it right now. And we're all out of gum. Tweeted, stolen, mercilessly, unapologetically thieved. So they're out of gum. They're most I think all of them. So yeah, how do you do that? You're trying to reduce reliance on China by what? Well, you know, in 4 years we're going to be able to get up and running. We don't even have the mine to get the goods, dude. And Hunter Biden helped China acquire the largest cobalt mine in the world with his Seneca firm. Yeah, Mr. Cokehead McHookers and Blow. Mm-hmm. That's the Gaelic version of his name. You didn't know that?
I
didn't. So, it's accurate. Just saying. How does that work? Americans are not sold on them, but Biden wants to force it on everybody anyway. You even had, where's this tweet at? Hold up. Where is this? Oh, Michigan Democrat Debbie Dingell. Now, I've disagreed with Debbie Dingell on a number of issues before, and we've debated on 2A. But she's not a nutty Democrat. I don't think that she's a nutty Democrat. I think she's like one of the rare civil ones. And she's saying, she said, quote, "Everybody cares about global warming, but I'm hearing from too many people in this country, I mean strong Democrats, that they can't afford an electric vehicle." Like, guess you just don't love America. That's essentially what Biden's telling people. But we can't afford it. We have to eat ramen for breakfast. If you loved America, you would go broke purchasing a car that when you have to replace the battery, we don't have the materials to make it ourselves, thereby forcing us to become more reliant on China. And also the battery is going to be more expensive than the damn car when you bought it. How dare you? Yay. Man. Can you imagine? What if you get into traffic? You know the people who aren't sold on electric vehicles? People who have toddlers. What happens if you're in traffic? You got a toddler crying in the backseat. Baby screaming in the backseat. And you're running low on electric. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't because I'm never going to get one. And I love gadgets. I don't like having... I mean, I can take gas with me. You know what I'm saying? But this is what they want to... Only 19% of Americans in this survey. And this is an AP poll. Only literally 19% say that they're very likely to buy an EV. As the administration pushes these rules to make them common. And they literally cost more on average... according to CBS, Car and Driver had a piece on this. They cost, like, on average, $10,000 more than their gas-powered counterparts. People are eating ramen for breakfast. And the administration's pushing them towards this stuff. He's going for it. He wants to mandate an electric vehicle revolution. The EPA, they're expected to announce their rule that's going to impose a strict emissions limit on vehicles sold. You know what gets me? The emissions limit actually makes you use more gas. The emissions restrictions make you use more gas.
What the heck?
Yeah. It's just like the way the engine works. It's that you guys look it up. It's the dumbest thing it's so dumb.
It is dumb.
See, over lockdown, there were certain things that I got interested in. Crochet, pastry, making pastries, and automobiles. And now it's a dangerous thing. Yeah, they actually, the emissions things are so dumb. They're so stupid. So in order to comply, automakers have to ensure that 2/3 of the vehicles they sell by 2032 are, that they're green. Yeah. That's what the EPA is doing, which shouldn't exist. And the high sticker prices, so get this. His 21 bipartisan infrastructure law, it was almost $8 billion to build only 500,000 EVs. Or sorry, charging stations. 500,000 charging stations. And it was like $8 billion. We would have to even have, in order to accomplish what he would want, you would have to have at least 2 million. Although some say that that's like a really low estimate. You'd have to have at least 2 million charging stations. At least. I think you would have to have 5 at least. 5 million. I mean, think about it. Golly. We're not done talking about this because I hate EVs. I hate them. The burning passion of a thousand suns.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I pulled this up and I totally just like lost where I was going. Let's see. So this Target security guard, this is kind of like wild, a wild story. A Target security guard punched a customer in the face after she demanded reparations instead of paying her for her groceries. She was in the checkout line. It was more than $1,000 and she started yelling about her reparations. And as she charged the security guard, because it's all on video, he just punched her. I mean, you know, it happened in Blue Ash, Ohio. The video is just coming out now, but it was last October. And it began when Karen Ivory asked a cashier for their manager regarding her bill and reparations. According to the police report, she was berating the cash register, saying that she lived a privileged life. Imagine saying that to a Target cashier, that you're like, you're berating, you live a privileged life as you spend $1,000 on stuff at Target. So the loss prevention officer intervened. She began screaming at him, followed him to his office. When he tried to shut the door, she forced her way in, shoving the door, and charged him, and he threw a punch. So she was sentenced to a day in jail and charged $110 for disorderly conduct. So, and he's, they all the police said, yeah, she was the aggressor in the situation. Clearly, people are nuts, man. Just stop with the politicization of absolutely everything. And let's see, everything kind of froze. Life expectancy in New York City declined. By quite a bit. The NYC life expectancy post COVID, it's declined by 4 years. They said it's fueled by the pandemic, but I think it's probably a whole bunch of other stuff, not just that. So coming up, a Republican governor is talking about red flag laws, and we're going to dissect it. Stay with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Now that nobody talks about it, but every day Putin mentions it. And every day other people mention it. And now all of a sudden, if you look, other countries are talking about getting it. This was something you don't mention. I call it the N-word. You have two N-words. You don't mention either one of them. The nuclear word you don't mention because the power is so destructive. I met with professors at MIT.
Just said it.
And I was preparing for a debate. I wouldn't say it was a long preparation, but I did want to talk about nuclear because I consider it to be the single greatest threat the world has.
I just love Tucker's
face. Far greater
than
global warming.
It's frozen. It's
like not even a contest.
Like that was a far-reaching interview that my friend Tucker had with 45 last night. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Your lovable curmudgeon. Can I hear the egg thing? Four? Where he was talking about Al Roker.
He's not too old. You know, his age, I think they do the age thing because I'm 4 or 5 years behind. They say, this is a way of getting Trump. Let's go him up. But there's something wrong. I saw his answer today on television about whether or not he was going to run to a very nice guy named Al Roker. I mean, you can't get a softer question than that. That was a long answer talking about the eggs and the this and that.
He actually didn't. And then he said, I'm thinking about or something. I don't know what he had said. Yeah. Yeah. But so that was another really good one. And then he called General Milley, who's stepping down, an idiot. An audio soundbite, too.
They said, sir, the tents are very hard to take out. I said, I want the tents. I want the tanks. I want the planes. I want everything. And a couple of them fought me on it. Like Millie. He said, sir, I think it's cheaper to leave the equipment behind. I said, let me ask you, we have a plane that costs $100 million. It's sitting there. All it needs is a tank of gas, right? Give me a little jet fuel. We'll fly it to Pakistan or any place else, or we'll fly it directly home.
Space.
You say it's cheaper to leave a $100 million plane. Sir, I think overall it's cheaper. These are idiots we're dealing with.
He's not wrong. What? That was the wind. It's real windy here today. It's not wrong. He's not wrong. And now look who has. Now we've outfitted the Taliban. Yay. Look, and now women can't even go to school or anything over there anymore. Works so well.
So proud.
So meanwhile, you have Tim Scott, who's announcing that he's going to be, I guess, forming an exploratory committee. The exploration is going to lead you to the land of no. That was a short topic. All right, so let's look now at what's been happening with regards to the Tennessee governor. So Bill Lee is a Republican, and he signed an executive order where they said that he strengthened gun background checks. I don't even know what that means. He has called for lawmakers to pass a red flag law. He said, we have a clear need for action, and that we, he said, we have an obligation to remind people to set aside politics, et cetera, et cetera, accomplish something that people of Tennessee want to get accomplished, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what he had stated in his remarks. Now, the order that he signed sets a 72-hour period for reporting new criminal activity. And it also, this requires that courts submit timely and accurate information to the Bureau of Investigation. The agency has to examine the current process for purchasing firearms. I'm not quite sure why they have to figure, why would they have to investigate that? Because, you know, this individual, if you're legally allowed to purchase something, then that, I mean, we have ways to adjudicate people ineligible to purchase or carry. There are all, without diminishing due process. Here's the problem with what Bill Lee is talking about. I'm not quite sure why he thinks that a red flag law is needed. It doesn't, I'm not quite sure why he believes this. Because first off, there's no evidence showing that they work. There isn't. There's one survey that shows that they haven't worked. In fact, most, a number of the mass casualty incidents that have happened in the past couple of years have taken place in states that already had red flag laws. And those red flag laws in Colorado and California and Illinois, they did not prevent those tragedies. Secondly, red flag laws are only about seizing the guns and diminishing due process protections. If you have someone who is truly dangerous, so dangerous that they have to be stripped of an enumerated right, why is that person out walking on the street? Why is that? Why are you not charging, or why is no one saying, you know what, we need to have like a temporary detention to evaluate this individual? Why is no one exploring the existing pathways to make that happen? Because, see, in one of these instances, and I think it was, I can't remember if it was the grocery store one that was in Boulder, or if it was, I don't think it was the Club Q. But one of the killers had his knives taken from him by police, who showed up because someone, you know, had said that they had a concern, and the police had made the determination that the individual wasn't dangerous. Well, here's the problem. Red flag laws do not employ mental health professionals. They do not bring mental health professionals in. So they may seize the guns or seize something for someone, and then they leave the dangerous person there with other weapons and the black market. Whereas with the established process, mental health professionals are involved every step of the way. So the problem with the diminished due process protections, people think this isn't a big deal until it happens to you for a reason that has nothing to do with guns, right? What if someone says, I think they're a danger to themselves. They have a, you know, a little bit of weed. Oh my gosh, here come the, I mean, literally anything can be used as a variable. You're declared guilty and you're penalized in an ex parte process, meaning you, and this is true in I've read every bit of legislation that has been passed. There is not a single process where you're informed prior, meaning you could be at home sleeping. You could be at work. You could be doing whatever and have no idea that someone is petitioning the court, having you, serving you with a showing up at your house. And many times, they're no knock. They just show up at someone's house. And some of the states don't have protections against that. Some of them you have to knock. There was a guy in Maryland, Arundel, Maryland, who was killed, a 60-something year old, because cops showed up in the middle of the night on his door to serve a red flag that had been erroneously called on the guy. And the guy thought someone was breaking in his house, and he, you know, shows up and, you know, he ends up getting shot and killed. That's a true story that happened. So you don't even know that it's happening. You don't know that someone's in court trying to penalize you for something. Now, here's the other thing about this, which is very concerning. So in a lot of instances, the evidentiary standard in court, I mean, you have to have evidence, right? I mean, you have to have some evidence if you're going to, you know, go to court and you're going to, you know, say that someone's a danger, and a lot of times the evidentiary standard is a lot lower than it would be normally in a red flag situation. Now, it's not the same in every state, but it is the same in a number of states where people can just have a reasonable suspicion, which is basically like a guess. How are you going to say that that's a legitimate evidentiary standard in order to deprive someone of a right based on reasonable suspicion? And there are, like I said, a number of states that have that as their standard. So, like, barely any certainty is required in order to implement this. And in many instances, they're falsely done and they have to be reversed. There are a number of cases in Florida. Rick Scott signed that into effect. So the mental health of the individual in question is never treated. You're declared guilty and you're penalized in this process that you don't even know that's happening. And there's zero evidence that these things reduce gun homicide. And I've given you some examples. We have existing ways to treat people. Not exercising those options is not the same thing as those options not existing. You know, in the days that follow these tragedies, we always hear from friends of the killer or family members of the killer that, you know, there were some warning signs. The parents of the Covenant School killer, they were afraid of their daughter, 28 years old, who lived at home with them. They were afraid of her owning firearms. They knew she was troubled. That signals that there was indeed the potential or fear of some sort of violent activity. You know, I mean, the Parkland killer made death threats online. He had to have an escort at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? It was so bad. So what's to stop a troubled person from hitting the black market when their firearms are seized? So the problem is not guns. It's never been guns. I mean, guns are part of the American fabric. The problem is breakdown of society. People blame guns because it gives them a pass on culpability for the breakdown of society, the breakdown of respect for life, the breakdown of compassion for neighbor, and it all begins within the home. Mass casualty incidents are relatively new. I mean, guns have been part of our American fabric since the founding of the Republic. Mass casualty incidents have not. It coincides with the breakdown of all of this. So if someone is so dangerous that they have to have an enumerated right removed, then they're dangerous enough to go before, have them brought before the court, make a legal determination of eligibility. And it can be done because I know people who've done it. So don't tell me it can't be done because I know people, very dear people in my circle of knowledge who have done it. And I know exactly the steps that they took and the ways that they explored. But you have politicians that want to seize control. And this is more than just about guns. It is literally about obliterating your Fifth Amendment protections. Because if they can do this, then where else can it go? Pick another variable. Any Republican that supports this should drop the R after their name, including Bill Lee. Because you do not punish the law-abiding for the crimes of criminals. You don't punish people who didn't know the individual because people who knew the individual didn't act on warning signs. You don't make other people statistics. I had, I don't know if you saw, but Stephen King was going on and on about guns yesterday. I thought it was kind of interesting. He said, quote, "The only use for AR-15s is to shred targets and people. They should be outlawed." So I asked him a question because he was like very, you know, vociferous with his, you know, thoughts on AR-15s. I said, so just like specifically the AR-15, but not like the Ruger Mini 14 or the M1A or the MMP-10. I mean, does he just mean 223 and not 308? I'm just curious. Like, I asked for him to share his expertise. Crickets. Crickets. If you're going to talk about this stuff and talk about removing things from people, then you need to understand what you discuss, because words are important and definitions are important, and certain aspects of law and penalty are invoked when they are in play. We have more to come, including One of my favorites, Nick Cave. He has an idea on what you need to do in order to be like, really like sock it to the man now. It's very insightful.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I came from Australia, which without those same political, that same, I didn't have that political fury, but I was much more concerned with f***ing with people on a different kind of a level, a different kind of thing. And I was always sort of at odds with my peers, I would say.
So what's the equivalent today, then? You asked about 2023. If how do you f*** with people today? What could you say now that
would be a conservative?
is that today's equivalent?
Go to church.
Yeah, you go to church and be a conservative.
I love that soundbite. It's Nick Cave. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Nick Cave is one of the greats. He's one of my favorites. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third, or actually towards the end of this third hour. He's always had this punk aesthetic, and he's right with us too. Because, and I've said this for 10 years now, that conservatism, wanting to conserve individual liberty, is counterculture. Conservatives, people who want limited government, and by limited government, I mean everything down back to what it was supposed to be in Article 1, Section 8, that is the new counterculture movement. That's an the man is now big government. The left became the new Puritans, which is something I said years ago. They became the new Puritans. They became all, I mean, they used to, like, I think that's why some of the old boomer hippies aren't actually left. They're just more like classical liberals. And I don't really think that they like the left a whole bunch. But the left now is literally everything that the left in the 60s protested against. Like, they're the ones who are rigid. They are fanatics. They are devout with their fanaticism with big government. So that was a great point that Nick Cave had given. Tomorrow we'll talk about how Anheuser-Busch is now up to $5 billion in lost value. The hits keep coming for them after that. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it is our president. Biden is in Ireland, and he just keeps telling people not to jump. When people are somehow seated at an elevation higher than his eyeballs...
Why does that happen?
He does it like hundreds of times. I've heard him do it. Here he does it again. Listen.
Just don't jump over. Don't jump. No, not now.
It's almost like he's useless there while he's
at least
in
that
Ireland.
Person. I mean, because at least that person had legs and he could see him because he's done that before to people who didn't have. I'm not kidding. He told that to somebody in a wheelchair before. I don't know. Or please stand up is what he said. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Sign up at Substack Chapter and Verse. Back with you tomorrow.